When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to an extra special emergency edition of Boiler Up Down South. This is your boy Drew. I'm here with my homie Garrett. Say what's up, Gert.
What's up? We are going to talk about a Gonzaga winning streak.
A Gonzaga winning streak. And we're going to be so concise in our words because it is late. And I'm going to the beach for a week starting tomorrow. So I need to get packed and stuff so my wife doesn't yell at me. And so anyways, we're going to just give you our quick sort of thoughts on the Gonzaga game, bleed a little bit into the Tennessee game that's coming up tomorrow in the second round of the Maui Invitational, and we will be right back after this commercial break. Welcome back. Garrett, tell the truth. Did you see the whole game?
I did not. I was at a work meeting for my day job, the one I have to go into in person like a normal human. Ugh. Anyway.
Garrett, wait, hold on. Plug your day job.
I work at the famous 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia. Nirvana is famous for having gotten kicked out of there. I played there when I was in a college band. It's kind of legendary. I'm kind of cool. And I get a whole, like, $20 an hour to do it. Yeah.
Gary gets $20 an hour to be cool. I do it for free. I feel like I'm getting cheated.
Anyway, no, I didn't see the entire game. I did make it back for the second half, which was the better half. And Drew, get into how it really was a tale of two halves, I guess we should say.
Yes, very much a tale of two halves. A Dickensian game for the holidays coming up. Well, the first half, I just felt like, or I didn't feel like, I saw Purdue just played slow. They played slow. They played through Zach Edey, walked the ball up the court, didn't get up a lot of shots, and just nobody really outside of Edey was the focus of the offense. Things were working. Some of the things were working off of Edey, but just every time down the court in that first half, you know, it was Zach, and he was struggling the first half, honestly, that he went through a stretch. I think he missed, you know, five or six in a row, kind of all in the same way, all leaving him a little short, like sort of like we talk about like when Zach misses, he tends to do short arm stuff. And so it didn't have a real good flow. It really kind of felt like, you know, one of those games where Purdue just can't get into a rhythm because, you know, they'll throw it down to Zach, it'll be a turnover, he'll get fouled, the game will stop. It was, you know, it never felt like we were actually playing basketball. Now we were drawing a lot of fouls, which did pay dividends in the second half. So don't get me wrong, I understand the idea sometimes behind just grinding away with Zach. I don't think it's the way Purdue plays best, but I understand the concept. I understand why a lot of people like it. It's just not kind of my favorite type of basketball.
Well, as we'll get into later, it is very effective when you have a you have a 10-point lead at the end of the game, and that's probably when you should just be playing slow, feed it to Edey basketball.
Exactly. There are definitely times in the game where I feel like things are getting a little out of hand, out of control. Slow it down, play through Edey for a couple possessions, get everything calmed down, and then speed it back up again. But I don't like it when Purdue goes in just seven or eight trips down the court. I saw where it's just everything was just working the ball around slow, and everybody knew what was going to happen. Like, Gonzaga knew. They didn't know how they were going to get the ball to Edey, but they knew where the ball was going to end up eventually. So it all the action Purdue runs is kind of useless when you just know where Edey is, that's where the ball is going to end up.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of how we played in the first half. We missed some open threes, but nobody was really aggressive, maybe other than Lance Jones, who's just perpetual green light. I think he wakes up shooting the ball, and that's good. Purdue needs somebody like that. But Jones was kind of looking for his, but Smith, it took Smith a while to get into the game. I feel like also when it's so Zach Edey-centric, I think Smith really takes a back seat.
I was about to use the exact same phrase. He has to kind of take a back seat. But when he's active with his hands, man, and we saw that more so in the second half, I suppose, because mm-hmm. I didn't see the first half, yep. as I admit. Once he seems to find his rhythm, he finds his defensive rhythm as well.
I thought Braden played great there in the second half. But again, I feel like he was more assertive there because Purdue was playing in transition more, really letting that first sort of fast break wave play out and then setting back up. I felt like in the first half, they weren't really letting that first sort of wave of offense, which is, you know, that transition wave, play all the way out. They were pulling the ball up short and holding up, not really letting that whole first sort of phase of the offense work. I felt like in the second half, they let that first phase work a little more, where guys were looking, you know, getting their own shots. Lance Jones was great. I mean, dude's real fast. Sometimes I think he's a little too fast and has a hard time slowing down to hit the layup. But, 13 points, 6 of 14 from the field. He only hit 1 of 6 from 3, but, you know, nobody on Purdue shot well. But he was aggressive and assertive in the second half, and I do feel like his energy picks Purdue up sometimes when they get into that sort of lull of just going, everybody sort of going through the motions to get Zach the ball. That was about it. First half, Purdue, you know, Gonzaga takes a 5-point lead into the halftime. And they looked pretty comfortable, but there were some red flags. Obviously, the foul issues, they're not a deep team. The announcers, for some weird reason, I think they must have just seen the stats from the NAIA game, and they were like, oh, Gonzaga can go 12 deep. And no, Gonzaga has 7 players that they play.
And we had spoken about that as well, where it's like their front court was kind of like rotational, but their back court was definitely just the same 3 guys,
yeah.
basically.
No, it was weird listening to the announcers go on and on about Gonzaga's depth when, like, everything I read about Gonzaga is like, they're going to be good, but they don't have very many players. The players they do have are pretty good, though. Purdue did have some trouble with a few of those. EK in the first half gave Edey fits with his athleticism, and in the pick and pop game, he hit 2 of those. He hit his first two 3-pointers from just right at the top of the key. And it was, you know, Edey was sagging off probably a little too far, couldn't get back there. But I feel like Edey did a good job there in the second half of shutting that down. He did cost a few layups. There's a couple times where I know, just sort of following along on Twitter and in our group chat and in the message boards, it was like, why? This guard kind of blows by Edey, and Edey kind of picks him up and then leaves him. Edey is starting to play halfway between the block and getting back out to that 3-pointer. And I think that really helped shut it down. Like I said, it cost a few layups where he only did play halfway and the guard still squirted by and laid it in. But it shut down that pick and pop. So that was a good adjustment from Matt Painter and Edey. I saw on defense from the first half to the second half that really shut down their big man pick and pop game, which is really an important part of what they do.
Well, yeah, and in the second half when, they did get some open threes opportunities, they seemed to miss all of them, which was very fortunate for us. But I'd say overall, like, the perimeter defense on the big guys who are good at that pick and pop, I'm satisfied. And Gonzaga's a good team. They're not deep, but they're a good team.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think Purdue did a good job of letting some guys shoot threes that they didn't mind shooting threes.
Yeah,
they were gonna let Nimhard shoot until he couldn't shoot anymore. So I feel like they would much rather have him pulling up from deep than driving into the paint and you know, picking apart their defense. So he did a good bit of that. You know, he had 6 assists and went 2 turnovers. And then Hickman also, you know, 1 of 3. He's not really a shooter. And they really just don't have a lot of shooters since Venters was basically, you know, Eastern Washington, like, legendary shooter. And with him out, they just didn't really have it. Stromer is a true freshman. He went 1 of 5. And he's the guy that really has to pick it up. So, yeah, no, I thought Purdue did a really good job of shutting down those 3-point shots and not letting Gonzaga stay in the game from hitting from deep.
Yeah. I feel like we need to mention TKR for a second. When Purdue finally started to, like, really break away and it started to become a little obvious, he did some very nice things, and I think there was a 2-point or 2-minute span where he had 2 shots that would be very difficult for most people to make, and especially that one where he had the kind of like mid-air adjustment. So TKR came in clutch with his offensive rebounding presence and, you know, his ability to kind of overpower people. And we had talked about how we kind of thought eventually Gonzaga was going to get tired, and Drew actually predicted the end of this game quite, like, Nostradamus-ly, where he was... What exactly did you say?
Let me read this for you, so just so anybody that questions my knowing of ball. Let's see here. Match up... No, I wrote all this. Hold on. This is a game where Purdue's depth and quicker pace on offense pays huge dividends in the second half if Coach Painter doesn't blink and revert back to the all-ED, all-the-time offense of last season. I think Coach holds course. Purdue plays a hard-fought up-and-down game in the first half and pulls away in the second half after fatigue and foul trouble mount against the shorthanded Zags. Boom. That's it.
Yep.
That's what happened. Yep. That was the game. Y'all didn't even have to watch it. You should have just read my article and then just, you know, done some laundry or something during the game.
Put it in your headphones, get some football wisdom, basketball wisdom, anything we have to offer you. Well, he has to offer you.
Very little. So, anyway, great win for Purdue. That's a 2-game win streak against the Zags. They don't want any part of the Boilermakers early in the season. You know, Purdue stays number 2, obviously. Kansas is playing Chaminade tonight, and I don't know. I don't think this is going to be the year for Chaminade. Pull the upset.
The Silver Swords have a very cool logo that just got butchered, and we need to address that for anybody who likes graphic design. They just went to a very plain C instead of the cool outline of the Silver Sword plant, which is the school's mascot for being noted for withstanding extreme environments and hurricanes and high winds. It's a cool mascot to have for a school in Hawaii, right? And then they just replace it with a blue sea. It's a shame. Can you tell that I studied graphic design?
This man studies a little bit of everything, and you'll like say something, and he's all of a sudden he's like, "Hey,
I have a hard opinion on this."
Wow, I didn't even know people thought about that, but now that you know, I see your passion.
Well, hey, I did notice, because I did see clips of the game. ESPN is not using the new logo; they're still going with the Silver Swords logo of old. Anyway, we're not talking about Chaminade anymore. Let's talk about Tennessee.
Let's talk about Tennessee, because they handled Syracuse. Just to be fair, Syracuse isn't very good, and they haven't been very good for a little while. Joe Girard down at Clemson, he got hot yesterday and hit a bunch of shots. But I digress. They took it to – the Vols took it to the Orange. That tore apart that vaunted defense. He's a transfer in. He was their guy tonight. 6'6", 204. He's gonna remind you a lot of that guy from Morehead State, and I can't remember his name. He was their sort of burly guy. Anyways, the guy that was the NAIA like legend, and he was playing his last year for Morehead State. He got hot in the first half and kept him in it. I can't remember his name. I got too many names in my head. But Connect, he's a small school transfer. I think Yeah, what is it? UNCO? I think it's where he was. The Rams? Yeah, University of North Colorado. The Bears. So he was at University of North Colorado.
So hold on, that's in like Greeley, Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greeley, Colorado. Why do I know that? I've been there.
And in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, so he was playing there in first game out or against Syracuse. He so far this season, he's averaged 19.7 points a game. Dude's a baller. He's a big guy. He can bully you. Purdue's going to have to find, again, somebody that can handle a 6'6", 205 guard. I mean, Fletcher Lawyers didn't look good tonight, let's be honest. He had a lot of turnovers, and if he's not shooting the ball, I think there's other guys on the team that do the other things better. So is Lawyers going to probably – I mean, Jones might try to get him, but he's given up a lot of size to Jones, and Kinect is a guy that knows how to use his size. He's going to get where he wants on the floor. That's what – I mean, he's used to doing that, right? That's his whole game at North Carolina, Northern Colorado. He just bullied people and got where he wanted. And he's doing that at Tennessee now. Yeah, that's going to be a key. Can Purdue stop Kinect because he's a baller. They've got – you know, always have these weird – these bouncy forwards. Adu, 6'11", 241. He had a big game tonight. He's another just real bouncy forward. Gets up, blocks shots, can run. Out of Charleston, South Carolina. I wish he would have gone to Clemson. Josiah Jordan James. You know, another five-star dude on their roster. 6'6", 225. Just another one of those sort of hybrid athletes who are Greyhound-looking dudes on the wings, and that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, and that's, because I'm a Georgia grad, like, I pay attention to Georgia basketball as well, obviously, and so, like, I think about Tennessee. They've always had these, like, really lanky, like, multi-talented wings that could, like, theoretically be playing center somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, man, they're not a team to be trifled with. I trust, like, if in a vacuum, if Rick Barnes is my head coach, I kind of trust him. I don't think this is an easy win, but are we going to get into predictions yet, or are we going to...
just in case we don't manage to get the Tennessee preview out in time before I head to the beach, just so I can stir the pot and maybe make sure my brother-in-law listens to this one.
He's got some Tennessee family.
We'll be at the beach together. I'll be there with a bunch of Tennessee fans, and y'all will fight somebody, so don't you worry. If there's some Purdue disrespecting, I will handle business. And by that, I mean thank them for letting me stay at their beach house.
The new name of this podcast is Boiler Up and Throw Down.
I love it. Love it, love it. All right, yeah, so Tennessee, Boilermakers beat the Vols. I think we beat them handily. I'm going to go something like 78-67. Classic Rick Barnes Tennessee team. Long, lanky dudes that can't play offense.
Yeah, I'm kind of going in a similar direction, but I think it's going to be a little higher scoring. I might actually go like Purdue 88, Tennessee 70.
Oh, that would be exciting. I'd like to watch that.
I'd like to see Purdue go a little bit faster paced. I'd like to see that they can, you know, be a little bit more opportunistic when not so great offense messes up and misses shots, and you get your rebounds, you go down court, you shoot the ball into the hoop. It's just that simple.
That's it, man. All right, Garrett, well, I think we're gonna call it a night, bro, because I got a lot of packing and cooking and all kinds of crazy stuff to do. So
happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, and check out, we're gonna do a IU preview football podcast tomorrow.
Yep.
Before I leave, so yep. Check that out later on the week.
We don't care for the Hoosiers.
And we do not. Y'all come back now. Here.